Money FM 89.3, best of the breakfast huddle. The bigger picture, only on Money FM 89.3.
Money FM 89.3, good morning. It's the Breakfast Huddle with Elliot Danker and Ryan Huang. It's now time for the bigger picture. And this morning, we're taking a view on quite a few things. One of it, of course, in the UK, where they're set to face their worst disruption to mass transit in 30 years. There'll be half of the people saying, thank God for work from home, and another half that has to walk to work today. So I know this for a fact.
I'm sure you will have different camps of people depending on your situation. And this rail strike is going to be massive. It's going to be 3 days of strikes, and it could mean, on the first day alone, nearly a quarter of a million people unable to get to work, and potential costs coming to the tune of £100 million. And all this because you've got the unions asking for more pay and the employers not willing to give as much. A similar tune playing out in the US, where President Joe Biden is addressing the rising cost of living. And he's saying the US is possibly able to avoid a recession. So this was a conversation with former Treasury Secretary Lawrence Summers. Mm-hmm. So they had a phone call and they discussed all the scenarios, and he says, no, he's able to come up with programs to bring down the cost of living. Now let's check in with Stephen Innes. He's the managing partner for SPI Asset Management. Morning, Stephen. How are you doing today?
Not too bad. Thanks, Ryan. How are you?
I'm doing great as well. Stephen, let's talk about recession. And you've got President Joe Biden saying it's avoidable. But hearing from many people these days, it seems like it's just a matter of time. Stephen, what's your take on what he is saying? Do you agree with him?
It's hard to tell where this thing's going to end up. Obviously, people are more concerned about the trajectory of interest rates, higher rates choking off the economy, and that's really the problem, and that all revolves back to inflation. I think governments are going to have to get incredibly creative addressing this energy inflation situation. Obviously, the situation in Ukraine and Russia is not helping. That would be great if there could be some easing in pressure there at that point, but that's very unlikely, and it's also unlikely that sanctions are going to get removed. I think we're just looking over towards OPEC and anybody around the world that can possibly up supply, whether that's Canada, whether that's shale oil. Something has to give here, because it's really eating into people's pockets, and that's really the big worry here.
Yeah, the equation here really being driven by supply constraints much more than demand issues here. Turning to our attention to the UK, you've got strikes playing out. It is going to be the worst disruption to mass transit in 30 years. It's going to have potential implications of a huge magnitude. What's your takeaway here? Is this going to just mean further pain for the UK economy?
Well, you know, these type of issues, hopefully they can get resolved quickly, but it's just anti-rhetoric that's going on right now. It's all revolving around increasing cost of living, where people just want to get compensated. This boils back to the root cause of what's driving this higher cost of living. Commodity prices, particularly petrol, people are struggling to fill, you know, to live these days. People are living from paycheck to paycheck, especially when you look at getting back to the central bank narrative. They're tightening mortgage loans. So many people have over-leveraged themselves throughout the world on properties, and this is a big problem that we're going to be looking at over the course of the next year, how people will be able to make those payments. I think we're going to see a lot of properties on the market close to the end of the year and probably into 2023. And that's going to be a little bit of a problem also for a lot of people that are going to lose a fair bit of money on this stuff.
Yeah, Stephen, turning our attention to the sterling, like we've got these situations playing out, the economy in the UK not doing that well. Will these strikes mean the BOE will be further constrained with its interest rate hikes?
Well, it's going to come into the Bank of England's purview. And again, how this gets ironed out and how quickly this gets ironed out, this will definitely be a short-term negative drain on the economy. And it could keep the central bank a little bit more cautious. That was signaling a little bit more aggressiveness towards taming inflation. But, you know, one of the things we have to look at is some central banks increasing interest rates from their economies not doing great. It's actually bad for the currency. And I think the pound actually does fall into that area, that the economy is not great. They're suffering from Brexit situations again. That's coming back to the fore. So there's a lot of problems, a lot of issues that are happening in the UK right now that are not quite favorable or not quite conducive to a rate hike environment.
Yeah, looking at the backdrop, Stephen, we've got a monetary policy tightening race happening, and this actually happening at its fastest pace in recent memory. So with that playing out, what will be the potential implications for the rest of Asia? I know we talk about a recession possibly in the US. How will that spill over into Asia?
Well, you know, we always say when China sneezes, the world catches cold. And I also think to a greater degree, or a similar degree, I should say, when the U.S. sneezes, the rest of the world will catch the cold. But fortunately for a lot of Asian countries, but China is actually coming out of a deep lockdown that sort of really impaired the economy. China's very much been relying on export sectors to drive the economy in the absence of consumption or consumer demand. That should pick up. I think once the China eventually moves out of the COVID policy and actually starts to lay down a lot of easing policies to take advantage of the multiplier effects when people start coming out, this will help a lot of Asian economies. But yeah, you know, a lot of Asian exporters export directly into the U.S., and it's also going to be a struggle. The problem we have in a global stagflationary world is the U.S. dollar tends to run supreme. Stronger dollar weakens Asian currencies, mm-hmm. and that's another problem also that Asian countries have, is that just the erosion of purchasing power hurts the economy on the broader scheme of things.
Yeah, so that could mean a tougher time buying stuff priced in U.S. dollars like oil. So we could see actually a policy-induced recession for some countries, especially in the EM part of the world.
Yeah, that's exactly it. And the problem is there's really no place to hide out in this kind of environment because of you're getting a weaker currency. And it makes all these other hedges exponentially more expensive to buy, for instance, like gold, you know, which is something that looks good in this kind of stagflationary environment. But from a weaker currency perspective, even Asian investors are a little bit reticent to go in and buy gold right now because of the cross-currency costs.
Yeah, Stephen, just to wrap things up, looking at China, you touched on it earlier. So what's your take on China? It's a bit of a split camp here where people are saying the worst is over and things are looking cheap. On the other hand, people are saying COVID zero is not ending anytime soon. Where do you sit on China?
I'm leaning on the evaluation side, but agree the economy recovery needs time. And I think this is going to be more of a grind. It's not going to be a big pop. I think the bearish narrative has been similar for an extended period of time, less somewhat priced in now. I think there is limited downside from here, and I think there's greater upside, but I do not expect any rebound to previous 12-month highs over the next year. But I think China will recover gradually, and that's going to be a positive thing for Asian markets.
Yeah, Chinese markets these days are being supported by all the promises of economic support from policymakers. We'll see how that plays out. We'll be chatting with Stephen Innes. He is the managing partner for SBI Asset Management. Stephen, thanks for your time and catch up again with you soon.
Great. Thanks for having me, Ryan. Take it easy.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg. Or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.